Good night, time travelers. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shay Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 815-915-WMFO. Dial it into your phone. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. And we do have a listener who promised to call back in from last week.
Yes, this is true. I hope they're sticking to that promise.
To talk about the Stephen Paddock thing, which we were talking about last week, the Las Vegas attack. And I hope that listener calls in, because this, Shay Spillane, our first show of 2017 or 2018. Let me catch up to the year, first of all.
It always takes about a month.
Our first show of 2018 may also be our last show ever.
Because of the bombastic baby fantastic.
The bombogenesis is coming to kill us all. The snow doom is coming to kill us all.
Well, that's even, well, that's what's funny. Everyone's freaking out so hard about it. And I'm like, you know what? The beauty of this, after coming from a place that's on fire all the time, I'm rather unconcerned, as long as we have, you know, food and water and walls.
But that's it. We didn't stock up on bread and water and batteries. So, yeah, I'm going to be a casualty by this time tomorrow night. It'll be all over.
And then, fair listeners, this show is all mine.
It'll be, no, because you're going to be gone too. You're just because you're in the part of the state that isn't getting as much snow doesn't mean that you're not going to be overrun by the refugees from the parts of the state with snow who will come and kill you and take your food.
Oh, no, but that's when I whip out my nunchucks.
You don't have nunchucks.
That's what I want you to think,
you,
Derek.
You so do not have nunchucks.
I totally have nunchucks.
You don't have nunchucks.
I do have nunchucks. I stole them from my brother when we were in middle school.
Okay, so you have nunchucks. They're gonna throw icicles at you, Shay. The nunchucks will be useless.
I have icicles too. They grow off the side of my porch.
Yeah, not as many as the people coming down from Boston have. We're all gonna die, is what I'm saying. It's all over. The bombogenesis is coming.
Wah, wah.
And as if that's not bad enough, Shay, then it's gonna get cold.
And just because insult is nothing without injury. Or injury is nothing without insult.
Cold.
Oh, really? Because that's a totally foreign concept to all of us in Boston.
I saw this line on one of the local websites today. The coldest temperatures of our lifetimes.
Well, I do recall there was, when I was a senior in high school, and it's always, they always say that, and then you like look at all the statistics from the past several years and you're like, oh, this may actually not be true. Because when I was in high school, there was a day that was so cold that they said that literally being outside and having your skin exposed to the air with the wind chill would give you frostbite. And every school in the eastern half of Massachusetts had school canceled except for three. Mine was one of the three that did not cancel it.
The coldest temperatures of our lifetimes.
And you're really old.
Our lifetimes, Shay. It has never been this cold in our lifetimes and may never be this cold again.
Wow. Go to northern Russia and talk to them about that.
I get so sick and tired of the way they hype up this weather and hype up this weather.
It's
going to
be so terrible. You need like three cases of hot chocolate instead of two.
Yeah. It's like, here's what you do, folks. Stay home tomorrow. Don't go out tomorrow. You got several hours to go and load up on booze and whatever else it is that you need to get through the day. Stay in. And when you wake up on Friday morning, the roads are going to be clear. Everything's going to be open. Life's going to go back to normal. Oh, you might want to put an extra layer on because it's going to be chilly out there. Okay? We're not talking about the temperatures dropping to absolute zero, where you freeze upon contact with the air.
Yeah, this is not a day after tomorrow situation we're talking about
here. If you have a home with heat, if you don't have a home, or you know somebody who doesn't have a home, go get them indoors. Because what's coming is going to be very, very bad for those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not time to be sleeping rough. Homeless need to be inside.
Yes.
But for the rest of us, it's going to be a little inconvenient for a couple of days. This is not the end times. It's winter. In New England, we get nor'easters. Sometimes it gets cold.
And this is not, that's what I hate is that everyone's acting like, this is unlike anything else that has ever happened. Yeah. I'm like, no. I'm in the third decade or starting on the fourth decade of my life. I've seen, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 instances like this where everyone reacted the same way and the exact same thing happened, which is nothing.
7-Eleven will be open.
And I guarantee you Papa Gino's will be open as well.
Yeah, 7-Eleven will be open. Dunkin' Donuts will be open. If you really need to go somewhere and get sustenance, coffee and taquitos will be available to you even during the worst moments of the storm tomorrow.
Quite true.
So with that in mind, hopefully you don't die. Hopefully this isn't our last show ever. But, you know, just in case, the bombogenesis and the polar vortex combined to seal the doom of the New England states. This could be it. Just wanted to give everyone a heads up on that.
Well, stepping on my local story a little bit with that intro, but it is, I'll give you the facts about it. Preparations are underway ahead of this massive snowstorm that's expected to hit Massachusetts. The storm is expected to bring strong, damaging winds, power outages, coastal flooding, and hazardous travel conditions. The bitter cold that has gripped the Northeast for the past week is giving way to a monster storm with screaming winds that could drop more than a foot of snow in some areas, which we've already established is called the bombogenesis. The National Weather Service has issued a blizzard warning for tomorrow that extends from Block Island, Rhode Island, all the way north to coastal New Hampshire and Maine. Most of the rest of southern New England is just under winter storm watch. But Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has already announced that all Boston public schools will be closed tomorrow.
Yay!
And most of the surrounding areas, Quincy included, yay, Mom!
Yay!
Have already been closed as well. Walsh urged residents to be patient as crews work to treat the roads and plow the streets, with city officials saying a major concern is not the snow itself, but as Derek mentioned, the freezing temperatures that will persist beyond Thursday's storm. Mm. So that's the thing, is that it's not, again, as you said, it's not in terms of the actual, like, it's not going to ruin our lives, but it's more of a concern. Travel is the big concern here, which is, you know, for the next several days, it's going to be a little difficult to drive because we're going to get a huge snowstorm and then it's going to get even colder, freezing everything that falls.
It's snow days. You know, the kids like the snow days. And so if you're in Boston, if you're in Quincy, you got no school tomorrow. Medford, good news for you kids out there in Medford. No school tomorrow or Friday.
Oh, get it,
so
Medford.
Just, you know, get your parents over to GameStop now and load up on some new games for your Switch and your PS4. Because you got yourselves a 4-day weekend right after that nice vacation.
I would say things like this make me miss the days of Blockbuster. It used to be the big ritual before a big blizzard when I was in like fifth grade. It'd be, let's go to Blockbuster and get like 6 movies and 4 video games. I'd be like, yes.
City of Melrose, no announcement yet, but
how about Somerville?
Oh, no, there it is. No school in Melrose on January 4th. So you got the day off. Somerville, I don't care. I don't care. It's not my problem.
Just based on the fact that there are so many closures from the more major cities and towns on the Bay, chances are everything.
You don't have school tomorrow.
Yeah, kids. You don't have school tomorrow.
If you're inside of 495,
Exactly. If you're east of Worcester, you don't have school tomorrow. Yeah,
stay up late tonight because you don't have to get up in the morning.
In national news, Steve Bannon is on the run, and his guerrilla war against the Republican establishment is on the verge of being extinguished after his political patron, Donald Trump, accused him today of having, quote, lost his mind and of being only in it for himself. In a stunning 266-word statement of rebuke against his former campaign aide and White House strategist, a clearly infuriated Trump echoed and expanded on the criticisms that establishment Republicans have leveled against Bannon since he took over the Trump campaign in August 2016. The immediate impetus, favorite word, for Trump's broadside today's publication of excerpts of a forthcoming book, which is Michael Wolff's Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House, in which Bannon is quoted as saying that a meeting between Russian emissaries and members of the Trump campaign, including the president's son, Donald Jr., and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, was treasonous and unpatriotic. Talk about a too brute.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is one of those messy political divorces.
Seriously. I looked and I was like, I haven't seen this sort of thing since 2001 when my parents were going through their divorce.
Please.
Like, of just, we were once buddies, but now screw.
Yeah. Because just a year ago, Donald Trump was saying, Steve Bannon's a friend. Steve Bannon's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
I love Steve Bannon.
How many pictures out there are there of them like hugging and being like, we're best buddies?
The one thing in all of this, please, please, I beg both sides, do not post nudes, okay? No revenge nudes. I do not need revenge nudes.
I say none of us need to see of that from either of you.
Yeah, from the Steve Bannon, Donald Trump political divorce, no nudes.
No nudes.
Say anything you want about each other, no nudes.
Oh, God. It is funny, I mean... Anyone who listens to the show regularly knows my opinions about our fair president. But
you're not a fan of our orange president.
No, I am not. I say fair facetiously because he's neon orange. But this is, to me, just another example of, I mean, he was defending this guy to the death less than a year ago.
Sure.
Like, it's just another example of being like, oh, this is making me look bad now. Well, I'm going to swing the other way, even though it goes against everything I've been saying.
No, it's the opposite. No, it's actually consistent with Trump because Steve Bannon was disloyal. And the only bad thing that you can do in Donald Trump's eyes is be disloyal.
But that's what I'm saying, is that he was disloyal after Trump dismissed him as a result of the major outcry against Steve Bannon being on his advisory staff.
Well, he was screwing up a lot of things in the White House, to be fair.
He was, but I mean, that's like when you, it's like when you hire a 10-year-old to babysit your 2- and 4-year-old and act shocked when things don't go properly, when the house is set on fire. Like, it's, as much as, yeah, Bannon totally screwed things up and absolutely fire him as a result, it was the sheer fact that he had the idea in the first place to think that it would be a good idea to have this man on the advisory, but like to have this man be one of his top guys. It doesn't matter. Yeah, of course he screwed up. We all knew he was going to screw up, but the problem is that Trump should have known he was going to screw up and not put him in that position in the first place.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to backpedal and be like, oh no, actually, you know what? All those things that everyone was saying against him is totally right. It's like, yeah, well, they were saying those things against him when you were still being like, no, this is my guy. You can't.
But when you're Trump's guy, you can do no wrong. When you're not Trump's guy, you do everything wrong. That is the binary world of our orange president.
Well, and that's, but I mean, it's so high school. It's so, it feels like when two teenagers break up and the boyfriend has been defending the girlfriend for all the stupid things she does, and then when they break up, it's like, no, she actually was a slut. Like, you know, like it's so, ugh.
It's entertaining.
He's so transparent. But yeah, it is entertaining, but that's not what I'm looking for in a president.
It's more than we got out of the last president.
He was entertaining.
No, he wasn't entertaining.
Are you kidding me? Have you seen his wife's arms?
I
could stare at Michelle Obama's arms all day, and it would be better than watching certain movies.
He was one of the stuffed, shirtiest, stickiest, up the rumpiest presidents that we've had in a long time.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a topic for another time because we have to get through the news.
Everything on the record with that guy was staged and rehearsed and safe and practiced. And the guy just bored me to tears. He really did.
Based on the Obama-Biden memes alone, I believe that is untrue.
Yeah, no, but that's stuff that the internet created. That's not something that Obama created.
Based on them playing catch with a football in the Oval Office and like adorable things like that. Obama was entertaining without being controversial. That's the thing, is that's the problem with society now. And I don't mean to sound like an old curmudgeon, but that's the problem with society now, is that we need scandal to be entertained. You can just be entertained by the sheer, this person has a good personality, this person has a good personality, let's watch them interact.
Boring.
It doesn't have to be. You're part of the problem.
Well, I'm not part of the problem. I'm not part of the problem. He was a dull president who went way out of his way. You know what he was? He was the dad that tries to be fun dad. That was the problem with Obama. He was a dad who was trying way too hard to be fun dad.
He wasn't trying too hard to be fun dad. He just is fun dad.
No, he's
or
not.
Or was, I should
That's
say.
The thing. That's he's not. He's policy wonk. He's, I'm going to sit here and read things all day long to try and understand this issue and then ask 30 people for their opinion before I make a decision, and then I'm going to do whatever's safest. And the guy was boring. Donald Trump is just like, yeah, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do. I'm going to Mar-a-Lago. I'm dropping bombs on that guy. Rocket Man has a little penis. And every
while I disagree,
it's something new and exciting.
While I disagree that Obama was boring, if you want to take it as fact that he was, I will take Obama boring over maybe going to get us nuked exciting Trump
nobody's gonna get
any
us nuked.
Day.
He's not going to get us nuked.
But that's the thing, is that I don't need, I like my president to fade into the background and just do his job. I don't need for him to be the headline every single day when I read the news. I don't need for him to be pissing and moaning all over the place about, this person made me upset, this person got my panties in a twist, this person I'm going to comment on the size of his manhood even though I'm the leader of the free world. This is not what I'm looking for in a president. This is what I'm looking for in a reality star, if I'm looking for anything in a reality star.
Everything
which is
else
pretty
that's
much nothing.
Everything else that's happening in this country right now is so boring that I'm glad we've got some entertainment coming out of the White House. At least at this time of year. It's winter. We need something to laugh
about.
Something
to warm us up.
We've got the president. And good on him for that. In world news, anti-government protests in Iran have claimed 21 lives by the end of Tuesday, when the country's supreme leader, Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, blamed enemies of Iran for encouraging the unrest. The protests, the most significant since 2009, have spread to six cities and led to 450 arrests in Iran's capital, Tehran, alone. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley dismissed Iran's suggestion of U.S. involvement as, quote, nonsense, end quote, even as State Department personnel admitted they had been speaking to people in Iran on Facebook while the Iranian government attempted to block social media access. The United States has called for an emergency session at the United Nations to support the protesters, but most outside observers believe they have little chance of toppling the country's religious leaders. This whole thing blew up a day after Christmas, and as of today, Iranian state television is broadcasting pro-government demonstrations and claiming that the insurrection has been put down. Every time one of these things pops up, everybody in the United States government and the State Department gets all excited because they think, oh, this is going to be like 1979, and the young people are going to rise up and overthrow the government. Anybody who believes that, anybody who thinks one of these little, you know, protest movements is going to do anything over there, completely fails to understand that what took place in 1979 was the result of years, years of planning and provocation, and decades of oppression at the hands of the Shah, enabled by the United States. Now, you can make the case that there have been decades of oppression in Iran up to this point, but what you don't have is that central outside figure, which in 1978, 1979, was Ayatollah Khomeini. Everyone on the world stage knew that Khomeini was waiting for his opportunity to come back and turn Iran into a religious, you know, an Islamic state. Not the Islamic state, but a state ruled by Islam. So he had his followers. That movement was building. And it finally got to a point where the movement took over the Arab street and became so popular that the government could no longer fight back against it. This is not what's happening in Iran right now. The Ayatollahs and the military are in complete control of the country. The young people would like Iran to have a secular government. They would prefer democracy to what they have right now, but they're not going to get it.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is that the difference, that's why it's always so funny for lack of a better word, funny when the U.S. reacts so strongly to demonstrations like this and in such a way that they think it's going to be some big revolution and some what have you. It's different from people in our government doing this. People in the way, like we are, while the past several years it's been kind of difficult to identify it as such, theoretically, we should be in the position to rise up and to actually make a change from rising up. They have a completely different set of ground rules, a completely different foundation. They have so many more things to overcome than we would were we to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's hats off to them, but at the same time, it's rising up in the way that they did is going to solve almost nothing other or is going to accomplish almost nothing short of creating a dialogue.
You can show,
that's about it.
It's not even going to create a dialogue. You can show up, you can make noise. At the point that the government starts shooting, you better go home because they're going to keep shooting until everybody is either dead or home. That's reality. That's the way Iran is run, and that's the way Iran is going to continue to be run until they see some kind of an economic benefit to not being a religious state.
And it's just not, what's the term I'm looking for? Entrenched values.
Yeah. And don't think for a second, by the way, that Nikki Haley is telling the truth and or that we're not over there fomenting this. Because this is what we do. We got people over there and we got people over here who are pushing people to go protest. We got people who are mingling in with the protesters and shouting slogans. The U.S. fingerprints are all over this. The Saudi Arabian fingerprints are all over this. As soon as one of these protests begins, every foreign country that has agents over there or contacts over there activates all of their people and says, go take part in this. Let's take down the government. And then when the government starts shooting at the people, everybody runs and hides again. So Iran is actually completely accurate and correct when they say that enemies of Iran have been contributing to this. They may not be the source of the anger. The anger may be due to bad policy and bad government and a frustrated young population that would love to join the 21st century but is prevented from doing so by its religious leaders. Much like Amish children and their tendency to rebel.
That reminds me of Pennsylvania Dutch right there.
Yeah. But our fingerprints are on it. We're poking the bear. That's what we do. In sports news, North Korea's supreme leader Kim Jong-un is giving sports diplomacy a try. In a televised address on New Year's Day, Kim offered to send a North Korean delegation to the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics, set to begin next month just 50 miles from the demilitarized zone that separates North and South Korea. The overture was met warmly by South Korea, which has offered to hold its first talks with the North since 2015 on January 9th. The presence of North Korean athletes at the Winter Games would significantly reduce international fears during the Games and could open a door to further dialogue between North Korea and other countries. Two North Korean figure skaters have qualified for the Games, which begin February 9th. And as of late this afternoon, North Korea has turned the international hotline between North Korea and South Korea back on. That was turned off in 2015, so a little bit of dialogue going here. A little bit of Olympics makes the world a happier place. Everybody likes the sports.
Which I feel is kind of the goal of the Olympics.
It is. It's one of the reasons we do this thing.
It's just like, hey, let's all come together and like put aside the, you know. I do think, I love that it's two figure skaters, which is like the most arguably non-violent of the sports in the Winter Olympics. And I don't mean like there's no like ski boxing or anything, but I mean it's the most like pretty the most approachable. Let's put it that way.
I gotta believe North Korea's got some guys who are pretty handy with a gun and skis who would be good biathletes.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if you're going to let North Koreans have guns in South Korea.
No, I don't think
because
you will.
Because all of a sudden, like, they're off the biathlon course and they're looking for the prime minister's office.
Well, that's where, I do theoretically think and hope that this is a positive step towards to quote Rodney King, can't we all just get along? But it does also smell like a theoretical movie plot line where it's like, hey, let's lull them into a false sense of security so we can make our move.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either. But I do. I mean, the conspiracy theorist that occupies 0.001 of my brain can't help but keep that coming into it.
Although, to be fair, I believe Vladimir Putin annexed Crimea during the Sochi Games. So, you know, you can use the Olympics as cover for a good deal of malfeasance. Mm. But the whole thing with North Korea is involved in this continual push and pull internationally, where on the one hand, they're saying, we've got nuclear weapons, we're going to destroy you, we're going to destroy everyone. North Korea stands defiantly against the world. And on the other hand, they're saying, hey, no, wait a minute, don't blow us up. We're not the bad guys here. We're not the worst people on earth. We're not totally unreasonable. And this is one of those opportunities that North Korea really needs to seize on. And because here's what, Kim Jong-un is like the Grinch in this situation. You know?
Just in this situation?
All the Whos are down in Whoville, like at the bottom of the hill, having their Olympics and having a great time. And the North Koreans are all sitting up on the hill saying, we hate that. And you don't want to do that. And there's no way that you can hide the fact that the Olympics are happening in South Korea from North Korea.
Yeah.
Because they know a lot more about what's going on in the world than they're given credit for, mainly because people from South Korea tell them about it. And they're smuggling stuff in there all the time. So for North Korea, being able to participate in that and go down there and say, hey, you know, we're still a part of the global community. You know, we're still invested in the future of the Korean Peninsula. It's a good look on a lot of fronts.
Well, and honestly, whenever we talk about North Korea, I always feel for the people there for that exact reason, that there's this whole world happening around them that they're not allowed to be a part of. And especially if the Winter Olympics are going to be held literally, theoretically, driving distance from them.
Yeah.
To have them not be allowed to participate is absurd. And it is, I mean, it's another one of those situations where you think, why does one dude have to ruin it for everybody else? No, that's the way I always feel about it. Well, in entertainment news, a major music publisher wants Spotify to pay more than $1.6 billion, alleging that it's streaming millions of unlicensed songs in what it calls a massive systemic copyright infringement. In a lawsuit that was filed on Friday in U.S. District Court in L.A., Wixon Music Publishing Incorporated, which represents the rights of songwriters and publishers, accuses Spotify USA of prioritizing record labels at the expense of songwriters and publishers. While Spotify has worked to track down the rights to the sound recordings of the songs it streams, it has never adequately secured the equivalent rights for the songs themselves as published works, according to the suit. God, this is a mouthful. The suit includes a 265-page list of thousands of its songs that Wixon says Spotify is streaming without proper licensing and compensation, including some of the biggest hits of acts like The Beach Boys, Rage Against the Machine, Tom Petty, Journey, Missy Elliott, Santana, and the Black Keys. The suit seeks damages of $150,000 apiece for more than 10,000 songs represented by Wixon, and saying that all of them are unlicensed. Overall, Wixon alleges that more than 6 million of Spotify songs are improperly licensed, representing about a fifth of its catalog. And a spokesperson for Spotify had no comment.
Perhaps coincidentally, Spotify announced its initial public offering today.
Hmm.
Maybe they're going to take the money from the IPO and pay off the lawsuit. There's no way they're getting $1.6 billion out of Spotify for this.
Because it's Spotify. The whole point of Spotify is that you have to pay for it, but you don't really have to pay for it.
Well,
it's like you're paying for it, but you're paying a fraction of what you would to be able to listen to songs that you listen to.
Right, which basically means it's illegal music sharing.
Yeah.
Without the physical file transfer.
It's 2017 Napster without file transfer.
Yeah, so they should be paying out some money and they should be licensing their music. And their defense to this lawsuit, which is, well, we intend to pay the artists. There's some clever lawyer weasel language there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we intend to pay the artists. Yeah, when?
Yeah, and how?
Why aren't you paying them now?
Where is the writing about that?
We're only going to break the law for a little while until we don't have to break the law anymore, you know? Or as Wimpy used to say, I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. You know, come on, guys. It doesn't work that way. You should have been sued a long time ago. They're not going to get the
one.
Honestly,
I've always wondered. I mean, Spotify has been out for, what, at least 5 or 6 years?
Yeah.
And I remember the liquor store I used to work at, they'd use Spotify playlists. And I used to be like, well, how? So someone owns all this music? Oh, no, we just use Spotify. And I'm like, well, what's Spotify? How does that work? Like, oh, you can listen to all this music that you like and just make playlists without actually buying the music. And I sat there being like, this sounds so much like a lawsuit from like 1998 that I recall.
It's Napster on demand without...
Yeah, it's Napster on demand without actually having the files.
And by the way, if you're playing it in a public place, that may run you afoul of ASCAP.
Even more,
because that's a public performance. So there's a whole different set of lawsuits that could be brought up.
That's why I didn't mention the liquor store I used to work for.
So here's, so here's another one of these, you know, oh, we're a disruptive tech company that is breaking the law and doing illegal things and making a lot of money doing it. And in the time that it takes to file the lawsuit and document what you've done, the company's gone now and filed for their initial public offering. Once Wall Street gets their hands on it and all the money flows into it, you can forget about anything happening with that lawsuit. So the IPO is actually the best defense that they have right now. This has to stop. And really what needs to happen is we need government to come to a point of reckoning with these technology companies where the potential good that they may be doing does not outweigh the laws that they are breaking on the way to doing that good.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no other industry that's been built in this country by flaunting the law or ignoring the law. And yet you have your Ubers and your Airbnbs and your Lyfts and your Spotifys and all of these other companies that are actively breaking the law, actively costing people money, costing people jobs, harming people. And the government just sits there and says, well, we don't have any law about this.
I think that's been like a common, not like a common thing, that's been a common theme for many things that have happened over, particularly the last 5 years or so, where some kind of lawsuit, something will come up where the answer by the U.S. courts is, well, we don't have precedent for this. Well, of course you don't have precedent for this because this technology didn't exist a decade ago.
Yeah.
This is your chance to establish precedent.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating to have that be the response when, I mean, that's the whole point of how our legal system is set up, is to say, we don't have precedent for this. Let's make it right now. Let's decide right now what it should be so that when this happens in the future, we can look back to this. And furthermore, when something similar but a little different comes up, we can look to this as to how we decide it.
That, of course, would...
And Napster, with this situation, is a perfect example of that.
That, of course, would require Congress to be doing its job. But as long as Congress pockets are lined with techno dollars, you can forget about that ever happening.
Fair.
So, yeah. In technology news, in better technology news, the first new treatment for Alzheimer's disease in 15 years may be here. Researchers at Lancaster University, testing a triple receptor drug as a treatment for diabetes, discovered that it significantly reversed memory loss in test subjects, according to a new paper published in Brain Research. The study found that the drug decreased amyloid plaques in the brain, a known factor in Alzheimer's, while also reducing inflammation and degeneration. Researchers said there may be a link between the mechanisms that cause Alzheimer's and diabetes, as desensitization to insulin is a common factor in both illnesses.
Interesting.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because the progress on Alzheimer's has pretty much been nil over the last decade. There was some...
Unless you believe plot lines in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Well, there's some experimental drugs out there. And there was some stuff that was known to slow the progression of Alzheimer's. One of the interesting things about this drug, and right now the Alzheimer's benefit is simply being listed as a side effect. Mm. Before you can go ahead and say, we've got something that works, you have to conduct clinical trials specifically for this use, which will be the next step in all of this. But this actually reduced the plaques, and actually brain tissue started to heal with this drug.
That's incredible.
And that's something that they haven't really seen before. So there's a fair amount of excitement around this right now and potentially good news. But if you're deep into Alzheimer's, or if you're, you know, midway into Alzheimer's, understand that it's going to be some time before you're going to have access to this.
Yes. Well, and I feel that so often the cures that, not even cures, but the medical advances that are, most medical advances are literally stumbled upon. Even penicillin was, you know, it was moldy bread. So often it's you're looking after, looking to get after some, the cure for something else, and suddenly, oh, actually it works for this. I didn't mean to do this, but here we are. I am fortunate enough to never have had someone in my family with Alzheimer's, but this, I mean, especially for people with early onset, as much as, like Derek said, this is something that it's going to be at least years before there's any access, it is a ray of hope, especially if you have it in your family and you know you don't have Alzheimer's now, but you know that theoretically in 20, 30 years, you could be susceptible to it.
Yeah. My dad had Alzheimer's, so anything that offers any level of hope is something that is very exciting to me.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
Because I'm looking down the road on that, obviously, but not as far down the road as it used to be. But this is a terrible disease. Mm-hmm. Out of everything it's that you can get.
It's devastating.
It is one of the worst, because it sort of robs you of who you are without doing physical damage. You know, so you still got a body, you're still up and
you're
doing
still, like,
everything.
Theoretically, but, existing.
Yeah, but you're losing everything about you, and you're losing the ability to do things, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then ultimately toward the end of it, your brain starts breaking down to a point where you start losing control of your central nervous system and things start shutting off. Mm-hmm. So anything that can make a difference in this and prolong the quality of life and possibly even reverse the effects of it would be a very, very big deal and something that's very welcome. So that's one to keep an eye on. And if you know somebody who has Alzheimer's, or if you have Alzheimer's, you're going to want to keep an eye out on clinical trials for this. It'll take some time. You know, it'll take a year at least.
Yeah. This isn't a go to the pharmacy in 3 days and get this
right.
sort of situation.
This is a year to 18 months just to draw up the terms of the clinical study and to get approval for the clinical study so they can begin the clinical study. But if you are undergoing Alzheimer's treatment, it is something that you want to talk to your doctor about so that you can be in the loop when the study is announced. And I think we're on this one over here.
No why, there's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast. Doom.
I can't help but giggle at this one.
Doom. Doom. It is the end. The bombogenesis is coming to kill us all, ladies and gentlemen. Blizzard conditions, blizzard alert, winter weather alert. Oh, my God. Go run and hide. Get on a plane and get out to California as fast as you can. Alert has been issued for the immediate area. So here's what's going to happen. Tonight, it's actually going to stay warmer than it's been. It's only going to go down to about 20 degrees. Early tomorrow morning, sometime between 3 and 5 a.m., you will see the first snowflakes come in. The snow will begin to pick up around 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. And between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. tomorrow, you can expect heavy, heavy, wind-driven snow across much of our area. Whiteout conditions, 1 to 2 inches of snow per hour. Extremely hazardous travel. Don't go anywhere, is what we're saying. Temperature's going to be about 30 degrees tomorrow. There will be a rain-snow line down on the Cape and into parts of Plymouth County. Be glad you're up here, because they're going to get the heavy, wet snow, and we're probably going to get the fluffier stuff, the granular, powdery stuff that's easier to get rid of.
All I know is Mama's making a snow angel tomorrow.
So That clears out around 9 o'clock tomorrow night, and then behind that, cold. So temperatures tomorrow night are going to fall to about 9 degrees, and then on Friday, it's going to warm up to 13, and that's about it. Partly cloudy, still be a decent amount of wind around. Could be a chance of another snow flurry, depending on where you are. And then Friday night, the bitter cold sets in. Lows below zero Friday night. Saturday may struggle to get up to 0 degrees in Boston.
Oof.
Look for lows at around 5 to 10 below zero Saturday night. Sunday, balmy. High of 15 degrees.
Oh. Break out the flip-flops, everyone.
Lows in the teens on Sunday night. And then Monday, temperatures get up into the 30s. And you know what that means, folks. Could be another storm on the way. So, yeah, we got the snow, we got the blizzard, and there's going to be below zero all weekend. And just in time for the work week, things are going to warm up a little bit. I need to have a word, I think, with whoever created this gift bag. It's Chris Earl. Belated holiday gift.
What's in it?
It's not what's in it. It's the bag itself that says snow is fun.
Oh, Chris Earl, you're such a jerk.
I really want to have a word with whoever came up with that gift bag. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. This is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary. She's Shea Spillane. On the Town, Mikey D. You like local music? Coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week here on WMFO Medford?
This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Many people ask me, is a prime rib roast prime quality? Not necessarily. Prime rib is just another name for a beef rib roast. You'll often see it written this way on restaurant menus. Prime rib is not a reference to the grade or quality of the meat. This is a little confusing since the top grade for beef is USDA prime. So you could have a USDA prime rib, or you could have a USDA choice prime rib. So remember, if you're looking for the top grade of beef, look for the letters USDA along with the word prime. Or if you want the next quality grade, look for USDA choice. It's almost as high in quality and is the grade sold in most stores. For more free information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food. We've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So, when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shea Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock if you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. Right now, one of our favorite sections of the program, which is Did You Hear?, where we quiz each other on the biggest news stories of last week. I'm going to start us off here with Logan Paul. Yeah, I know. You know the answer to that.
Can we just skip this one? Because I really don't like giving these idiots publicity. It's what they thrive on.
But it's...
The entire culture of YouTubers...
But the thing is...
Should be jettisoned into the sun.
The difference is, though, is that he's always an idiot. But... This is when he's an idiot, like, for the reasons that you're not supposed to be an idiot, not for the reasons that make people famous.
This isn't the only time he's going to come up on this show tonight either, which just makes me angrier. Logan Paul went to the suicide forest over in Japan and broadcast a dead body hanging from a tree because he's on YouTube. And that's cool, kids. So if you see a dead body hanging from a tree... put it up on YouTube, and you could be famous.
And what's better, actually, is that he, and obviously, which was in his best interest, he released a public apology and deleted the video. But what's better is that...
No, YouTube deleted the video. He issued the public apology.
But, well, either way. But what's better is that... someone I, on like a, the many things I've read about this because it's ridiculous, is that someone, like a lot of people are defending him being like, he's just a kid and didn't know what he was doing. But someone made the very good point that it'd be different if it was a live stream and this was just something that he happened to come upon. But it was not. And not only did he edit the video together, after you watch this video, he does his separate tagline of, if you liked this and others, please subscribe to Logan Paul on YouTube. And like, it's like, dude, are you... It'd be one thing... Like, that's the thing is, I could see it'd be one thing if he had just prefaced saying, I wasn't sure... Like, had put up a preface saying, I wasn't sure if I should share this, but I think because in light of all the talk around suicide in the past couple of years, blah, 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 I feel like I should share this. And then not... had set it apart independently from his, like, I'm a funny dude, like, look at this. Like, if he had set it apart from his usual content, I maybe wouldn't hold it against him as much. But the sheer fact that he edited it together, included the happy-go-lucky tagline of how to follow him, and was wearing the most ridiculous hat in the history of humankind when all of this happened. What was that? Shrek with three eyes? I don't even know. Whatever it was utterly ridiculous.
So, Shay, are you saying, I just want to make sure that I understand all of this. Are you saying that he's a good kid?
No.
He made a mistake.
No, I'm saying
It shouldn't ruin his whole life.
No, I'm saying that other people said that.
He's a good kid.
I'm saying he's not
a
good kid.
He made a mistake.
No, I'm not. Don't take my words out of context, D. I'm saying that other people were like, oh, it's just a kid that made a mistake, whatever. But someone made the very good point. It'd be one thing if it was live streaming and it was just one of those things it was literally on the air as he was filming it and this happened. But I think your former co-host, Brian Joyce, actually made a very good point where he said, this was this kid, he's not a good kid, but this was this kid just being immature and naive and posting this thinking it would be some big, I don't know, some big media get for him, which I don't know why he needs. He's a YouTube star that now has two television shows off of it. But Brian Joyce made the very good point of on Facebook today of do what you're good at. You're really good at making silly, stupid vines and dumb videos that all of us laugh at. And it's like all very light and silly and whatever. You are not the person we want to talk to about serious. Like, you're not a documentarian. Like, you're not somebody who we want to hear serious stuff from. And you, no matter what context it's in, it's going to come off as you making a joke about it, no matter what.
Now, see...
Especially when you're wearing a bright green Shrek hat.
Now, see, number one, can we just unplug YouTube, please? It contributes nothing of value. Number two, that sounds awfully familiar. And this goes out to you and to Brian Joyce. And you, as a proxy for Brian Joyce, for agreeing with this... That sounds awfully familiar to the same argument that I made about a certain late night talk show host.
Brian, if you're listening, I was agreeing with you.
A certain late night talk show host a few months ago named Jimmy Kimmel, where I was pilloried by you suggesting that Jimmy Kimmel
that's completely
only
different,
has the right
though.
To make dick jokes because that's
Jimmy,
his gig.
Jimmy Kimmel is a smart, worldly adult. This is a 22-year-old dum-dum who is famous because of a website that literally, what does Vine let you have?
So at what point does Logan Paul not have to stay in his lane anymore? Here's my question.
When he does
At what
anything,
point does Logan Paul get first, to become a serious commentator on the human condition?
Well, let's put it this way. Your first serious commentation, is that a word? Commentation? Your first serious dialogue, let's put it that way.
Dead guy in the trees. Dead guy in the trees.
Your first serious dialogue should be something a little lighter. If you're going to go from pratfalls and doing splits in front of random strangers to encountering someone hanging themselves from a tree, there's got to be at least like 4 or 5 steps in between that. Like Jimmy Kimmel has had plenty of things that while we look at him as
No, he hasn't. Jimmy Kimmel turned on a dime when it was in his best interest.
When it was in his best interest defending his kid?
Yeah.
That's the same. Him doing that was the same as a 22-year-old blonde dum-dum in a stupid green hat that I still don't get. Was it true?
I'm saying if you're going to tell Logan Paul to stay in his lane, then let's tell Jimmy Kimmel to stay in his lane. Well, that's all I'm saying. All I'm asking for is consistency.
But this is a matter
that's all
of
I want,
no. This is a matter of Jimmy Kimmel going from being in Boston and going from the right lane to the left lane, and Logan Paul suddenly pretending he's in England and driving on the other side of the road.
No.
They're two. Yes, it is.
Logan Paul's making fun of the dead guy in the video. He's doing what he does.
But there's a difference. There's a difference between Jimmy Kimmel, at least still, even though it's always with a Jimmy Kimmel, like, kind of whatever. He still maintains some sort of journalistic integrity. Whereas there is nothing even, you can't even say any, this, you can't call Logan Paul a journalist. He's not a journalist. He does splits in front of people in public places and does pratfalls. And Vine, what are those, like 14 seconds long?
Vine isn't even a thing anymore. That's why he's on YouTube now.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
Because America needed long-form Logan Paul.
It's a matter of the sheer, even if you've never spoken about it before, even if you've never spoken about some very serious topic before, which Jimmy Kimmel had before that, maybe not on such a serious level where he completely broke and did not say anything funny about it. But Logan Paul has always been, and there's like people like me, and I'm trying to be like, oh my God, I'm comparing myself to both of them. But people like me who are funny, who most of the things that I produce are funny, but I obviously have been portrayed, have put myself forth in a light where I'm actually speaking intellectually and it doesn't rely on being funny to fall back on. Logan Paul has never said an intellectual thing ever.
You don't know that. Never... Have you watched all of his videos?
I don't have to.
Well, yes, you do, because you can't make that statement otherwise.
I will go home and watch. All right, let's put it this way.
You won't survive watching all of his videos.
Logan Paul has not been looked at as making, based on what he's put forth, nothing has been singled out as, hey, this is him commenting on a serious subject. That has not happened. That has not happened. As far as all of the research that I've done since this broke,
and he wasn't commenting on this
as
a serious subject either. He was like, hey, there's a dead guy in the tree.
Yes, he was. He was trying to say suicide is a serious thing.
No, they were cracking jokes about it while they were shooting the video.
Well, did you watch the whole video? He does talk about
it. I know he does.
Suicide is something, blah, 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 blah.
But they're also cracking jokes.
Yeah, which is my exact point, that he is not in a position, unless you want to actually be someone who is a serious commentator on something, who wants to take a step aside from the of things and actually talk about something, you have to pick a lane. You can't totally, you can't say something about.
Thank you.
But I'm saying,
this is the point that I was trying to make.
No, but the Jimmy Kimmel thing, he stepped aside from his original stuff.
Look,
he didn't make any jokes.
Look,
this kid was like, suicide's a serious thing.
We have to move on. And you've been going in, you're saying the same thing 20 different ways. We have to move on from this. When Jimmy Kimmel, because I don't want to be a heartless ogre here, when Jimmy Kimmel was talking about his kid and what his kid's going through, that's legit. That's fine. This is your come to Jesus moment. And I get it. I understand it. And it's personal and it's meaningful. That's fine. Okay? That was the first time in his career that we'd ever heard anything far beyond dick jokes from the guy.
That's fair.
When you go from that to, well, now I have opinions about Congress and I have opinions about our healthcare legislation and I'm influencing the news cycle, that's when you got to get back in your lane.
That I will give you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to sit here and tell me that Logan Paul needs to stay in his lane, all I'm asking for is the consistency that when other people get out of their lane, regardless of who they are and whether or not you agree with them, you're saying the same thing. Because when we have consistency, we have order. And when we have order, we have happiness.
But just...
And people getting along with each other.
I do agree. Jimmy Kimmel's here to entertain us. But I can at least appreciate